Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we need to do that because there's so many toxic chemicals in the world today, all around us, in the food we eat, the water we drink, consumer products, and even in our bodies from past exposures. And so on this show, we talk about what's toxic, what's not, where are the toxic chemicals, and where are things that are not toxic. And today, we're going to talk about the scary toxic chemicals that are in our Halloween traditions and products that we buy at Halloween. And my guest today is my friend Annie Berthold Bond. She's written 5 best-selling books about toxic-free living. And she's experienced, as I have, many, many toxic-free Halloweens. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Deborah. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you. And Annie has been on before. And if you enjoy today's show or are a fan of Annie's books, you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and look, just type her name into the search. And all of the shows that she's been on will come up. You can listen to all of them. I'm sure she'll be on again, since we're such good friends, have known each other for so long and are so in agreement on this subject.
So, Annie, that we are.
I know you've written about Halloween in the past. You've written so much in so many ways. So we're going to talk about some specific things. Like, I have some information specifically about candy and costumes. But why don't we just start out? Tell me just some tips that you would give somebody about how to have a less toxic Halloween. And then we'll talk more specifically about candy and costumes. Like, tell us some of the things that you did with your daughter, Lily, to make her Halloween less toxic.
Well, that's an interesting question. And, you know, when I was thinking about this show, I still to this day remember a Halloween mask I wore. I must have been 8 or something, like 9 maybe, or 6, I don't know, and the taste of it and how it bothered my face, and it must have been absolutely saturated with fire retardants or something. I mean, it was just the chemical exposure I had at that evening from that mask must have just been unbelievable, and
I remember that
day
too.
Remember it. Yeah,
yes.
Today it's just an incredible thing. Well, with my daughter, I was... My main focus actually usually was around the candy, and so we can talk about that. I have a lot of alternative thoughts about using candy that doesn't have food dyes in it.
Let's just start out talking about candies. I have some things to say too. Let me just talk a little bit about the toxic chemicals in candies that children are likely to encounter, and then we can go into talking about our alternatives, because I'm sure we both have a lot of experience with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was just an article. I was just searching this online, and there was an article just a few days ago in the Huffington Post that said, Halloween warning, watch out for neurotoxic artificial food dyes in M&M's candies. Well, so this article is about the health effects of artificial colors, which are made from petroleum. And it says that if you know a child with ADHD, you know hyperactivity can make it difficult for parents. And that many food and candy companies use unnecessary ingredients that can trigger hyperactivity, and petroleum-based artificial food dyes are found in everything from cereal, yogurt, and granola bars to candy chips and even children's medicine. So they're making the point here that even though, you know, it's Halloween, you're going to get a lot of artificial colors in that bag of candy. If most people are, giving away candy that just comes in the bags of Halloween candy that is sold cheaply at this time of year, and it's not the best quality candy, and M&M's and other common brands do use these artificial flavors, and they are, I mean, ADHD is only one of the things that happens when you consume can happen when you consume artificial colors, because it's a neurotoxin and it affects your entire nervous system. So anything that has to do with the nervous system, mood, depression, you know, all those things, even, you know, like moving your fingers. I'm sitting here moving my fingers while I'm talking. Moving your fingers is something that your nerves do, and your brain, you know, messages going to your brain, and all of those kinds of things are all part of your nervous system. And so that's one thing to watch out for. Another article that I found, let's see, what else do I have here? There was another one about lead. I have so many articles open on my desk right now. There was another one about lead in candy, and can't find that one right now. But and there's also
one of the things that I when you're talking in England, the physicians have gotten together and urged all parents to not feed their children food with artificial color, and this was started like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It was so impressive, right? That the pediatricians got together to say this because it was so strong. And I think we could also, the other thing I just wanted to throw in there is to add my personal experience, which was that my daughter didn't really have much exposure to chemicals, but I would always let her go to birthday parties and eat whatever they had. And of course, yeah, they were always loaded with toxic dyes and food dyes. She would come home as the most, she was a sweet little girl. She'd come home as the most belligerent little human being you ever wanted to be around. And I just, it was just like clockwork. She'd have that kind of food and she would just, yes, be so belligerent with me. And so it's just, it's so sad because the kids get into bad behavior and parents punish them and they don't know what's the cause. You know, it's just a real tragedy.
It absolutely can be. I mean, something as simple as eating M&Ms. But we also, let's also talk about the dangers of sugar, and then we'll give our safe alternatives. Because sugar, I actually consider sugar to be a toxic chemical now. I do.
That's interesting.
I didn't used to think it was a toxic chemical because my definition of toxic chemical was, well, most of the toxic chemicals I knew were made from petroleum. But when I wrote my most recent book, Toxic Free, I really researched everything and knew because I had a lot of ideas about what was toxic from the past many years ago when I first started working in this field. And so I just researched everything again. And one of the things that I realized is that there's certain chemicals that are inherently toxic. There are certain, like dioxin or something like that. There are naturally occurring toxins like food poisoning, kind of things like botulinum is a toxin. There's also a whole category of things that are toxic because they're refined. And if you look at something like salt, like natural salt versus refined salt. And natural salt is actually vital to life. Yet refined salt can give you high blood pressure and all kinds of things. It's actually an industrial chemical. And, and so when I look at refined sugar, I'm not talking about all sweeteners, but I'm talking about that refined white sugar that most candy is made from, especially Halloween candy, that acts in your body like a toxic chemical does. And it's not something that occurs in nature. It's something that is an industrial product that's been refined. And so I actually consider it to be a toxic chemical now and something that people shouldn't be eating. And it's not necessary to health. And so I put it on the list of like dangerous poison.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. There's a website, and I've forgotten the name of it, but it lists like 134 ways or something like that, that sugar hurts your body. And especially one of it is that it depresses the immune system. And so, and especially, so what happens here is that we're in the cold and flu season and we're eating Halloween candy, we're eating Thanksgiving desserts, we're eating Christmas desserts, and all through the whole cold and flu season, we're depressing our immune system when our immune system should be at top form to be fighting all those bacteria and viruses.
And all of those holidays sort of celebrate dessert. So
that's right. So the alternative is, I'll just make a general statement here and say that there are many other sweeteners that are not as bad for you. And I hear my little cue of music that it's time for the break. And I could just like keep talking about all this stuff with you and never have a break. But we'll take our break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Annie B. Bond. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Halloween and how to have a healthy one. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lingad, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond. We're talking about healthy Halloween. So, Annie, tell us what you've done about candy with Lily.
Well, what I would do is, and I was thinking about this when you were talking about sugar, because there are increasing number of products on the market that, candy products on the market that are actually made without, FD&C food dyes. And, the health food stores have them. They can have M&Ms that are made with the, that don't have that problem. You still get the sugar. Sometimes with kids, you want to be able to give them what everybody else has and make it look like what everybody else has. And
yes,
you get into one of these classic slippery slopes where is it better to give them something fun that they feel great about that also isn't as toxic as something else, right? So
right,
this certainly still includes the sugar. We should also probably throw in corn syrup as something that is
absolutely
the top of my list of things I would want to avoid because of the GMOs, if nothing else. You know,
right,
it's just a really serious problem that I think is. I read a book called The Autism Revolution by Harvard MD that just blew my socks off about how she's actually healing autistic kids and making their lives completely normal, and she's doing it in a myriad of ways, but one of the main focuses is on gut bacteria. And we know that sugar throws gut bacteria off, but corn syrup and the GMOs in Roundup, their new research is showing that it's actually affecting gut bacteria in a really negative way. And so it's sort of horrifying that these little kids are with the it's healing their gut bacteria, is helping bring them back to health. And why is their gut bacteria thrown so badly off? And one of the reasons may just well be corn syrup and GMO corn products. I mean, it's terrifying when I started researching this, just absolutely terrifying. And the same GMO gut bacteria problem can be linked also to some problems with the honeybees, because they're getting the corn syrup because a lot of honeybee farms use a corn syrup based
right,
feed for them, and so it's just a horrible, worrisome problem that's just beginning to reveal itself in more detail. So I pay a lot of attention to corn syrup now.
Yes, that's something I eliminated a long time ago. I would actually, if I had to eat something and I had to choose between corn syrup and sugar, I would eat sugar in a minute before I eat
too.
Corn syrup.
Yeah,
and I think that there's actually, for me, a gradient of different sweeteners being more preferable and less preferable. Corn syrup is way at the bottom, and sugar is actually somewhere near the middle. And then there's artificial sweeteners, but then there's other much better sweeteners near the top, like honey and coconut sugar and unrefined cane sugar and things like that. And I know that I've seen in natural food stores that there are many candy products that are using these better sweeteners, as well as not having the artificial.
That's right, exactly, totally.
Yeah.
And so you become a label reader, and it becomes incredibly
right,
valuable to, at this time of year, to go browse around the biggest health food store you can find, because the
right,
product, the prices tend to be cheaper, and just look at the widest variety of materials, of candy you can, and see what there is. Completely agree.
A couple of things that I think of just off the top of my head, not having gone to the natural food store and looked for it, but just being aware of what's in the store. There is, at my particular natural food store, they have right at the register these little bite-sized chocolate candies. Just a little bite of chocolate that's organic chocolate, and it has unrefined cane sugar in it. And so you could certainly, you know, get a bunch of those and pass those out. Everybody loves
absolutely
chocolate.
Absolutely. Totally. And so for Easter, instead of Easter of jelly beans, I would get little chocolates and place them all around. Like, I would do exactly that. I would do everything I could creatively to come up with alternatives to food dyes, and the more wholesome the sugar, the better, right? So,
well, they also have lollipops made from and hard candies made from brown rice syrup. which is also another good slow-acting sweetener. I found there's a website online called naturalcandystore.com, and they have a whole page called Organic Halloween Candy. If you just want to get to this this page, you can just type Organic Halloween Candy into your favorite search engine, and it'll come right up. And it's got all kinds of things. They've got gummy bears.
Beautiful colors,
and,
too. Yes.
Yeah, gorgeous organic colors. Maple yes. candy, pumpkins, and root beer-flavored organic candy drops and lollipops and all kinds of things. And they're all made out of organic and natural ingredients. And so if you want to have that kind of thing and you don't have it at your natural food store, just go online here. And it's all available. It's just a matter of knowing that these products exist and choosing to get them instead of the standard toxic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then so and because this then is a whole stretch where we do make so many desserts at home, too, one thing that I got really good at and we just enjoyed doing would be making foods with vegetable dyes and making the frosting type things, coloring things with mm-hmm. vegetables. And so blueberries make a gorgeous bluish purple, and they're just all sorts of foods that you can
beets.
Cook and, to get a great food dye to make your own, which is another fun thing to do.
It is a fun thing to do. I was looking on my own website on my Green Living Q&A. I looked up Halloween to see what I'd written in the past, and one of them, there was a tip from a woman who said that when her children were at trick-or-treating age, that they would invite their friends over, that the parents, the woman writing this, would invite their children's friends over for pizza and apple cider and homemade pumpkin pie after their trick-or-treating. Oh, no, then the kids would go out for trick-or-treating, so they've already had a good meal. And after they got home from the trick-or-treating, their kids and their friends, this parent would check the candy, and they would divide it up, and then she would buy the candy back for whatever the price was that it would be sold for at the local grocery store. And then they would put it back in their trick-or-treat box and give it away to the other trick-or-treaters that were coming to their house, and that the kids would have money then to go spend to buy toys or whatever that they wanted, and they didn't eat the candy at all. And I thought that was a great way.
That's a creative way of handling it and giving something to the kids to make them find that fun.
Yeah.
The more money they could make, or something. And that was a good idea to fill them up first. So,
yes.
Interesting.
So we need to take another break. And when we come back, let's talk about costumes, because that's a big part of Halloween, is getting dressed up and having fun. So this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of many best-selling books about toxic free living. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. My guest today is Annie B. Bond, who does a lot of things. She's written 5 books on toxic free living. She's the editor-in-chief of The Wellness Wire, and she leads the selection of toxic free products for a wonderful website called A True Find that has some gorgeous products from all over the world. Her website is anniebbond.com, and you can find out all about everything she does by going there, anniebbond.com. So, Annie, I want to start by just talking about some articles I found about the toxic chemicals in costumes. Now, I always felt very uncomfortable in Halloween costumes, and you were talking about the masks before. There's rubber masks and there's plastic masks, and I always felt as a kid that I didn't want to wear the mask. You know, it looked nice, but I couldn't breathe. I didn't like the way it smelled, and so I very soon just didn't wear the mask at all. But still, all of those, I was just looking at the costumes, all made out of synthetic materials. When I was recently in a store, a big discount store, and I just was walking up and down the aisle, and just everything is made from nylon and polyester and plastic, and they have you know, purple pumpkin thing, bags that you can, you know, carry your candy in and all these things. And there was an article that was just out last week about how that there was a shipment of children's costumes from China to a distributor in Seattle that was confiscated by consumer product safety investigators because they tested it and they found that there was lead in the costumes that are 11 times the legal limit.
Oh,
and they
dear.
Said they seized 229 cartons of 1,371 costumes and that they will all be destroyed. But those are only the ones that were tested. And
yeah. Oh, dear. So discouraging.
Yes, yes. And I've said many times on the show, but we'll say it again. We even just said this yesterday about how lead, there's no safe level for lead. And even though the government has set a standard, there's really no safe level. And it can poison children's brains. And it's just all kinds of developmental problems come later in life from being exposed to lead as a child. And there really isn't any reason why we have to be, have our children be exposed to these kinds of things. And then there was another article I found where they found all kinds of toxic metals. There's a whole list here. There's a group called Eco Waste Coalition where they test Halloween costumes, body and face paint, masks, decorations, and candy. And they said that more than 20% of the tested, of the products that they tested still contained lead. And in 2011,
what
2 years ago.
What percent was that again, Deborah?
20%.
Did you say 20 or 40?
20.
Oh,
20% still contained lead. And in 2 years ago, when they tested, they found excessive levels of antimony, arsenic, cadmium, chromium, lead, and mercury in 70% of the Halloween costumes that they tested. And last year, the number came down to 28%. This year, it's 20%. But that's still only just this little tiny amount that they tested. And if you multiply that out by all the Halloween costumes that you're seeing in stores across the country, 20% of that is a lot, and there's no way for you as a parent to know if you're buying a Halloween costume that is full of heavy metals that are very, very toxic to children. So my recommendation is that we should be making our own costumes and just not even buy any of that stuff because, number one, there's no way for you to tell if they're safe or not safe, and number two, they're made up of synthetic fabrics. And number three, none of this is on the label, but the other thing is that they are actually many, if not all of them, have fire retardants applied because if there's any time of year that is dangerous for children having loose clothing on, it's Halloween with all those candles and all those pumpkins and people walking around with candles and stuff, that the official government recommendations for Halloween costumes say buy fire retardant costumes.
You know, I was thinking about what my recommendation would be, and I think that report you gave just actually changed my mind, because one of the problems with kids, of course, is that they want to be like their friends and they want to fit in, and you don't want to and you want to help them fit in if you can, right? Just because
right.
it matters so much to them. And so it is always sort of a toss-up sometimes about what's more important for them. But it's more important for them not to get exposed to heavy metals than it is for them to fit in. I think that there's no question about that. And one of the it's hard. I sewed a lot of costumes, and my daughter was also in a lot of musical theater, and so we would start, I mean, she always just loved to have me sew the costumes, mm-hmm. and so it became a fun family project, and what I was going to say that's the great news, I mean, I'm with you now about the costumes. I mean, I was going to say that you use your common sense, you're out there and you're shopping and you do the best you can in the sense of try to get the most natural, yes. you smell things, you try to navigate as best you can given what costumes show up when you're out looking. But I think I changed my mind and agreed about the making. And the fun thing is that the fabric stores have absolutely wonderful patterns available and all sorts of fun accessories. So it can become a really fun family project. I mean, most families these days have both parents working. It's really hard to find the time, but it is one of those meaningful times when you can have with your kids, I think. And I'm with you, Deborah. I agree.
And thank you. I know that it's been a long time since I bought a Halloween costume. And, of course, you know, even as it's been like since I was a child, but as soon as I was able to make my own costume as a teen and figure it out, then that's what I started doing. And, you know, you can go to thrift stores and, pick out things that might be suitable for a costume, or you can make things. I mean, teenagers can learn how to sew. I remember when I was in school, I, took a sewing class. And, or you can even now, it's not that difficult. It really isn't that difficult. And, but I know for myself, I now try to keep my costumes. I like to dress up for Halloween, but I keep my costumes really simple. Like one of the things that I did was that if you go to a party store, then they have like these little hats you can wear, just the little tiny hats on headbands. And sure, they're synthetic, but it's a very small amount of synthetic. So, like, I have a little witch's hat, and I'll tell you
more.
Well,
see, that's what I mean about the common sense. You make an educated decision at the time.
It's very different than having a whole dress full of fire retardant. We'll be back after the break and talk more about how to make creative costumes that are toxic-free. My guest today is Annie B. Bond. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of many books on toxic free living, and her website is anniebbond.com, and you can find out everything that she does. So Annie, what I wanted to say about what I usually do now at Halloween is I either do something simple like a little witch's hat, or I paint my face. And I think that I just dress in black, all my black cotton clothes, and then I paint my face. And,
I was just going to talk about face paint too.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful creative way, a creative thing to do. And, but I want to make sure that people understand that, if you go and buy face paints, like at the store, they probably have lead in them, because several years ago, this Campaign for Safe Cosmetics had face paints tested and found that 10 out of 10 children's face paints contained low levels of lead. And again, there's no safe level of lead. And other heavy metals they found were nickel, chromium, and cobalt. But here's the good news. There are natural face paints that you can buy. If you go to naturalearthpaint.com, they've got great, great, great face paints, and they're just so natural. The woman who developed them, I had her on the show, and she totally understands all of this about colors and paint and everything, and she has created these fabulous face paints. And another resource for you can go, I just put a blog post on my website, Safe Face Paint. That's hard to say. Say that three times fast. Safe Face Paint. If you just type that in my site search engine, Safe Face Paint, it's got a link to the natural face paints you can buy. And it's also got a link to, I see I have a typo here. I need to fix it. To a place where you can make your own homemade face paint. And that's on a website called mommypotamus.com. And I have the exact link by the end of the show. I'll put up the exact link here to where you can make your own face paint at home from natural colors and things as you were talking about, natural vegetable colors. And so these are two creative ideas that people can use to have some fun and have it be natural and safe.
And it's really easy to make a natural face paint. I mean, it's basically maybe a recipe I have has shortening in it, quote, shortening, and I would use coconut oil instead. And it has cornstarch, white flour, and glycerin, and you mix that up, and then you could add colors. And so I think that you could do some do different kinds of starches, so you mix the corn altogether. You'd be able to use arrowroot or something.
Well, this recipe I have in front of me from Mommy Potamus says cornstarch or arrowroot powder, and then she uses honey instead of glycerin, coloring. And yeah, I haven't tried it, but it looks like it would work, and I think that that would be a fun thing to do. I always like making things myself if I can. And
yeah, me too. So honey is very healing for the skin.
So
that's a very, very nice recipe that you just said. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. And the recipe for the natural earth paints is very good too. It's got natural pigments in it and things like that she's put together. But I really like these kinds of do-it-yourself formulas where you can make it out of, like, basically foods that you could eat. I mean, you could eat this face paint. It might not taste very good, but you could eat it.
Yeah, right, exactly, exactly. And the other thing is you could make paper mache masks. I mean, if you wanted to get into some fun projects,
that
you could definitely do that. And I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that you want to. I was invited, of all things, I had such a fun time last year. I went to Bette Midler's Halloween party, and I spent, you know, 6 weeks working on my costume for that. And even through Hurricane Sandy with no electricity, I was sitting by the fire sewing the things on it.
And
I made myself looking like, I found a picture of Madonna who had dressed up as the Queen of Arc, and Joan of Arc, and I did something very similar. And I got real chain, and I made chainmail hat with the chain hanging down, and
wow.
I got a very, it was very fun. I actually heard somebody say it was going to be in Martha Stewart. Actually, the picture of me is going to be in Martha Stewart. I should go out and buy a copy, I just realized, of the magazine. But it was so much fun. You know, it was just an absolute blast doing it. But it became a project, you know. It just became something you plan a couple months in advance, and you work on it and think about it. And
that's right. It becomes a creative thing. I think that this is one of the things that we've lost in our consumer culture, is that we think of ourselves as consumers. So if we want something, we need to go out and buy it. And so then we're only limited to what the manufacturers are giving to us. But we are creative beings by nature, and we can create anything that we want to create. And I think it's much more fun if you're doing something like a costume to go out and create something that figure out. I'm a member of Toastmasters, and we are having not a Halloween party, but just after Halloween, we're having an open house, and we're going to each of us be giving a very short speech as a character from a book or a movie. And so we're all going to come dressed as that character.
What a fun idea, yeah.
Doesn't that sound
very
great?
Fun.
And
very fun.
So I'm going to be... I happen to be receiving an award that night, which is one of the reasons why this is going on. In Toastmasters, there's the highest award is the Distinguished Toastmasters Award, and you have to do all kinds of, you have to give like 50 speeches and do a whole leadership program and everything to get this award. And so I had already started working on my, I'm going to say, quote unquote, costume of my evening gown for that occasion, and it's all kind of like a fairy dress, you know, with this, with the little stars, and it's all purple with little stars. And I thought, well, now I have to come up with, a character from a book or movie to be that fits my dress that I already started working on. And, so I decided to be Glenda, the Good Witch of the North.
Very nice.
And so I'll have to give my, I'll have to give my speech as Glenda.
Oh, well, that sounds very fun. What a great idea. But
yeah.
That's exactly right. It becomes a event, and when I had my costume that I was, I had my daughter and all her friends involved. I mean, it was a big email thing back and forth, taking iPhone pictures. Well, what about this as the, as the bracelet? And it just became a very fun community event, really, right?
So I guess the conclusion here, we still have just a few more minutes, but the conclusion here is that Halloween can be turned into a creative homemade event rather than a toxic store-bought event, and that it can be something really fun and something that is an annual thing that you do together as a family and with your friends. And as I wanted to mention about trick-or-treating, that children don't have to go out and trick-or-treat. It may not even be safe in some neighborhoods. And that there's nothing wrong with inviting your children's friends over for a party, and they can get all dressed up, and you can feed them organic food, and you can have sweet things to eat that are prepared better. And that could be, and they could, go around and trade treats or something. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could think of to make an event that children would rather come and do that event every year than go out trick-or-treating because it's so much fun.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a matter of being creative and thoughtful, really.
Yeah, yeah. So, Annie, do you have any last thoughts before we get to the end of the show?
It's really a matter of paying attention, I think. I mean, I think that's what we're, everything you have said and has been about, needing to pay attention. We can't just be in denial about the fact that so many of the things that we buy for Halloween are actually really dangerous, and we can't pretend it's not the case, and we do have to make change. We have to adapt and accommodate that knowledge creatively, and it's just something we have to do. It's not a matter, there's not a question anymore, I guess. So
there really isn't a
It's just like never, I can never have dry cleaning in my house because I'm so chemically sensitive, and I haven't for 30 years, and I haven't missed it.
I haven't missed it either. I had a woman emailed me with a consulting question about having her daughter's room has a fairly large vinyl decal on the wall, and she wanted to know was it toxic and should she remove it. Well, vinyl, as we know, causes cancer, and it's giving off fumes into her daughter's room. And she was saying, I don't have the money now to replace it. Should I remove it? Do I need to remove it? And I looked at that and I thought, I mean, she knows it's toxic, and she's asking me, should I remove it? I don't have money to replace it. What's more important, that that her daughter live in a toxic-free room or there be something on the wall? And I think it's much more important to be choosing, to continue to choose. When I, right at the beginning, when I was so sick, I didn't have money to buy anything, but I took everything that was toxic out of my house. And I was just kind of left with emptiness because I had no money to replace anything. But over the years, what was important was to remove those toxic chemicals. So we need to go.
I did it too.
But Annie will be back again with us another time. I'm Jennifer Gadd, this is Talk Radio. Have a happy Halloween.